Are you ready?
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you as ever by the Amp Radio Network. My name is Proteus. I will be with you all evening. We're bringing the gang back one at a time, DJ Tony, every week. We seem to have one more person coming back and one more person coming back into the fold. Hopefully, by next show, we will have Pamela back. Unfortunately, we are down Pam again. She is getting herself back to work with the coronavirus. You know, everybody's trying to get back to work. So Pammy is not here this evening, but I am lucky enough, ladies and gentlemen, to be joined again by the two gentlemen that did the show, the inaugural show back, DJ Tony and Marco. So let's go ahead and get right into it. We are going to talk this evening. We're doing a little bit of Smack My Picks Up, of course, for ESPN Plus 29 or ESPN, UFC on ESPN 9, whichever one we're going with. We're not sure right at this moment at time of recording whether or not we're going to do ESPN Plus or Big ESPN. So we will do that this evening, ladies and gentlemen, and we will do main event, co-main event, spotlight fight of the night, because Marco says this card's all right. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and get into a little bit of Amp Radio Rewind. All right, Tony, we've heard enough from me. Let's go ahead and bring in everybody. Let's go ahead and bring in yourself, DJ Tony. It's Tony time, bitches.
Hey, DJ!
DJ!
Coming at you. Welcome back, Proteus. You were missed, as always. And, of course, like Proteus always likes to get it right, we can also call it UFC Fight Night 171, Pro. How do you like that?
That's right. How do you like them apples? Way to go. For all those keeping it, keeping track, right? All those paying attention to the numbers.
Which is you and I.
Yeah. All right. So sorry if the intro was a bit shaky, but it has been a long time. Let's go ahead and bring in the star of the show himself. Deep from the heart of Texas. It's Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco, brother, in self-isolation, quarantine, trying to take care of myself, my family, and everybody, everyone else. We watch some fights this weekend. We're going to watch some fights tomorrow. Then there is some more fights on Saturday. So let's do this shit. Let's talk some MMA.
Yes, sir, indeed. We will go ahead and talk some MMA. Of course, we all are coming at you from quarantine still. Marco brings up a good point, DJ Tony, at the time of recording, this, of course, being March 12th of 2020, we will be hopefully be recording not just this show, but a show, two shows this week to catch up on this show that is coming up, ESPN, UFC on ESPN Plus 29 or ESPN, UFC on ESPN 9, also hopefully covering Saturday night's fights as well. Hopefully Pamela will be on that show. But DJ Tony, let's go ahead and get into it.
Sorry, give me one second. I was looking at the card. My
That's
bad.
That's all right. Cue the music. All right, so UFC on ESPN 9, that's what we're going to go with because it's in the notes. Smith versus Teixeira will take place, of course, in the same place that last weekend's card took place. But, of course, May 13th, 2020 at the ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena in Jacksonville, Florida. Mouthful and a half, the granddaddy of them all. And of course, in the main event, friend of the show, our boy Anthony Smith, number four in the division at this time, against number eight, Glover Teixeira. Let's get right into this, Marco, and throw right to you. Who you got in the main event of ESPN, UFC on ESPN 9?
Okay, so you know the rules, friend of the show. Whoever picks again Anthony Smith is banned from the show. So, look, Anthony Smith is not just the number four light heavyweight on the planet. Co-host with RJ Clifford of MMA Tonight on SiriusXM. Commentator extraordinaire on the pre- and post-fight shows on the USC. but he's also been on AM Radio. So that's what he actually started for, crying aloud, right here on AM Radio. Look, this fight was supposed to happen in April in Nebraska, but, you know, the whole world fell apart in March. So it's happening now in Jacksonville without fans. Anthony Smith, I think, right now is just a superior fighter. Teixeira, for us, as good and serviceable, and you know, the guy is a good striker, really good ground, getting tough as nails. Like, he's almost 40 years old, man. And homeboy Anthony Smith got, you know, goals of being on a championship fight again. It's going to be a tough fight because Teixeira is just tough as nails. But Anthony should be able to find his chin and be able to get Teixeira late on the third round, let's say Anthony Smith by TKO.
Okay. Smith, third round TKO. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have any winner from last week. Last week I was just a fan. I wasn't on the show, so I did not take down everybody's pick. And what Marco tells me, he did very well last week.
I won.
There you go. We'll just go with that. Okay, so DJ Tony, before I throw to you, I'm going to give you the odds. Of course, these are fresh and live and direct from Five Dimes as time of recording, of course, Tuesday night, the 12th of May. Anthony Smith is a favorite right now at a minus 178. DJ Tony and Glover Teixeira coming back at us at a plus 167. What do you got for us in the co-main event?
I'm actually kind of shocked that it is this close, you guys, because I I'm a Glover fan. There's no doubt about it. I'm a bigger Anthony Lionheart Smith fan because, like you said, he basically got a start here on AMP Radio with Proteus's Primetime. The thing is, Glover is 40 years old, right? And I thought Glover was a large man until he stood next to Anthony Smith, who we forget he's moved up in weight, right? So he's a light heavyweight now. Has looked good, has only been beaten the last, what, 9 fights by John Jones and Thiago Santos. I think it's going to be Lionheart Smith again. I think he's going to TKO Glover in the first, guys. So I'm going Anthony Lionheart Smith TKO in the first, not because he's a friend to the show, because I think he's just a better fighter right now.
Yeah, DJ Tony, you bring up the past records, of course, of Smith and of Teixeira. Let's not forget that Teixeira, coming off of what I believe is a 4-fight win streak right now.
Four,
because he beat Anderson beat him July 22nd of 2018 in a decision. That's correct. Thank you, DJ Tony, for correcting me. So, look, Glover Teixeira on a 3-fight win streak coming up against, you know, friend of the show, our boy, Lionheart Smith. You know, we've been on the Anthony Smith train, as you mentioned, DJ Tony, for quite some time. Again, Smith has been going up against the top of the division, as you mentioned, Ozdemir, Jones, last fight it was against Gustafson, which he won in a 4th round submission. Let's not forget. So Anthony Smith showing off his ground game in his last fight. And we know Glover Teixeira, not only does he have boxing, but he has that ground game as well. I think you guys are all correct in this one here. I'm going to agree with Marco, especially. You know, Glover is you know, the older fighter and is not the, as we want to say, or as our boy Vitor used to say, the young lion anymore. Anthony Smith is definitely the young lion coming at Glover Teixeira here. I think Smith takes this one down early as well, DJ Tony, but I'm going to go ahead and take the second round on this one. And again, I think I'm going to go with TKO as well. It's going to be interesting to see how Anthony responds to the fact that there is no crowd there. But as we know, if you've been paying attention, longtime listeners, you know Anthony Smith has come up and he's been used to fighting in front of, you know, hardly anybody in the stands. So Anthony Smith takes the clean slate here in the main event. I do believe, DJ Tony, when I introduced you for the fight, I said co-main event. So excuse me. Let's move on to the co-main event now. Cue the music, DJ Tony. All right. To the heavyweight division we go. Our boy, Big Ben Rothwell against, you know me, that's right, OSP. I'm down with OSP. Man, this is one hell of a fight in the heavyweight division. DJ Tony, I'm going to start with you. Before I start with you, I'm going to give you the odds right now. Big Ben on Five Dimes right now at time of recording is a plus 120. Ovin St. Preux, the favorite, at a minus 130. So DJ Tony, what you got going on here, brother?
How is OSP the favorite, by the way, guys? If I'm the only one that's felt by the odds, and we won't give them more credit because they're not a sponsor. But listen, I'm a huge OSP fan. I'm a huge Ben Rothwell fan. He's a junkie favorite. OSP, I don't know, I just have a soft spot for the guy. I think, you know, when you see him with his glasses, et cetera, very smart young man. I just don't see how he's a favorite over Ben Rothwell. I'm going with Ben Rothwell, guys. And unfortunately, OSP's chin hasn't been what it was. Let's take the Stefan Struve approach. I'm going with Ben Rothwell, second round, TKO, late in the second, over OSP.
Okay, so we're going OSP, second round, TKO. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Marco, but OSP is moving up the heavyweight in this particular fight, correct? Because past two fights, yeah, exactly. He's been a light heavyweight. Marco, maybe is this a last minute replacement, or is this going to be a move up for OSP that's going to be permanent?
I think it's a new pain, pain for OSP because he's done with light heavyweight. Like, he doesn't have a path to the championship, and I think it's easier for him to enter the title, or at least a contendership on the heavyweight division. I mean, he's not getting any younger either. I mean, he's in his mid-30s. I don't think he wants to cut weight anymore because he's a large light heavyweight. He cuts north of 25 pounds to make 205, and I think he's done with the cut, you know? So he's trying his luck heavyweight.
Yeah, and you're right, Marco. He's been win-loss. So might as well move up to heavyweight and try it out up there. Big Ben's going to welcome him to the heavyweight division, though.
The land of the heavyweight is the land of the dinosaurs. Everybody's there on the mid-30s up there. There's very few, like, John Bucks. I would have picked Ben Rothwell a couple of years ago when he was on his run. I still think when his return fight, he beat that Bulgarian dude, the guy with the scar on his chest. I forgot his name. You know who I'm talking about. The guy that got the biggest cut of his heart.
We talking about Ivanov?
Ivanov, yes. I think Rothwell won the fight on points, but it was so close. It wasn't a robbery. But, look, I like OSP style. You know, he's more dynamic. He's light on his feet. Rothwell is too robotic and too static, and he's too squared up. He's not willing to take it to the ground as much, even though he got a really good ground game, too. And just because of that, I think the length of OSP and the reach advantage, he's going to be able to use a jab and outpoint Rothwell. Now, if he gets any close to Rothwell and Rothwell track him, he's 9-9 for freaking OSP. But I want to pick up OSP. I think he's going to have a smart approach. He's going to be the quicker guy, the more nimble guy on his feet. He is going to pedal pad Ben Rothwell for three rounds for a 30-27 decision. So give me OSP on the points.
Will do. I'm going to agree with a lot of what you just said, Marco. I think that, you know, the weight cut previous that OSP was undertaking was, you know, a detriment to his performance. I'm looking forward to seeing him at a more normal weight. I want to take a caveat here, guys, being this is, you know, only the second mixed martial arts fight back in a number of months. It's really hard to know where guys are at, you know, how much they've been training, how much good training they've been able to get. Let's not forget that most of these gyms are closed. You know, I know Rothwell has the ability to have his own. He has his own gym, so he has the ability to bring in whomever he wants to have training with. But again, let's take that into account. We don't know what kind of looks these guys have been seeing. But I am also going to take OSP here. I think that you're right, Marco, that Rothwell really is that, you know, slow kind of plodding marauder with the big heavy hands, and he relies on that. A lot like Big Country. You know, they have a very similar style, in my opinion, in that, you know, they kind of just walk forward and plod and hope that you're going to be in the way when those big hammers are thrown. Another clean sweep here for OSP, guys. you know, I'm going to take a shocking pick here. I'm going to take OSP in the first by KO. I think his power is going to translate up to heavyweight, and I think Roswell is going to walk into one, kind of, you know, a la what we saw last week, of course, or last weekend in the heavyweight division. Of course, we'll get into that in the recap.
Awesome.
Hey.
Why y'all leaving me hanging?
What's happening?
We thought you were working.
Tammy.
Oh, my gosh. I've
Indeed.
Been trying to call you since, like, 10 till 7, and I kept getting this busy signal, like we're living in the 70s. Busy, busy,
really?
Busy. And I called like five times, and then I just called him, like, let me see. And if I can get – I kept getting a busy signal, so – I tried one more time, and then I could hear you
I'm
guys talking.
You
I'm like, man, I'm like, cool.
Well, we are glad
didn't even
to
wait
have
for
you.
Me. What's up,
We're
everybody?
Glad to have you, Pammy. We saw you on the Instagram with your mask and your gloves on, and we figured that you were still at work. That's how I introduced you, and then I said, Pammy's at work. But we're glad to have you. Pam, what's happening?
Well,
how are you in the coronavirus? You doing okay? You surviving?
Oh, yeah. Just, you know, I went back to work. It's really weird because we're having this really – just a weird protocol, you know, where only one patient can be in the office at a time, unless they have a caregiver. And when you come in, you have to have a mask on. Before we had our little desk in our counter area. Now I walked in and there's this big plexiglass over there. Looks like we're in a freaking bank, man. So it's just strange times, you know, but I'm hoping everything will get back to normal soon.
All right,
sort of.
So, let's cut to the chase real quickly.
You've missed
the main event and the co-main event. We've missed you for the past 18 minutes, but give it to us. Who you got in the main event, Anthony Smith or Glover Teixeira?
You know what? On paper, really, 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 really good fight. Very close since we're at, like, pressed for time right now. You know what? I got to go Anthony Smith. I think he's on a roll. His last decision win was in 2016. This is three rounds. I get confused. Three rounds?
Five.
I'm going to take him, you know what, early in the fourth. Let's go with a submission, fourth round submission.
All right. That would bring two
and,
in a row submissions for Smith.
Roswell,
and okay, so go ahead in the co-main event, Roswell or OSP?
Roswell, you know what, Ovince St. Preux is like Uriah Hall, like 2.0. And he's just not – I just don't get him sometimes. I think Ben Roswell, he's like a big old, gigantic, scary teddy bear, and I think those big old mitts are going to take him out. I'm gonna go a second-round TKO, Ben Roswell.
Okay. All right, so just so there's no confusion, just let me recap everybody's picks. For the main event, Marco and DJ Tony and Proteus and Pam – all taking Anthony Smith, Marco by third round TKO, DJ Tony by first round TKO, Proteus by second round TKO, and Pamela by fourth round submission. Moving to the co-main event, DJ Tony and Pam both taking Ben Roswell, DJ Tony in the second round by TKO, and Pamela second round TKO. Proteus and Marco both going with OSP. Marco is taking the decision. Proteus going with first round KO OSP. And again, reminder, OSP is moving up to heavyweight in this particular fight. Who was that? Go ahead.
What could you even pick up a San Prucho?
I don't know.
The San Prucho. Everybody, it's not the Van Flucho, it's a San Prucho.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to do
sure.
that. Now, did he go heavyweight?
I don't know if
he's
Ben would allow him to
snack?
Get into it.
Is he going to heavyweight because he's been on the quarantine stand?
All right, so let's go ahead as Marco alludes to. Let's go ahead and move on to everyone's favorite segment of the show, Spotlight Fight of the Night. Pammy, since you're new to the show, let's give you some time to go ahead and throw Spotlight Fight of the Night at us. What you got?
Marvin Vettori versus Carl Robertson.
Okay.
I like Marvin.
In the middleweight division?
But, yeah. Now, keep in mind, he went to, was it five rounds with Adesanya? And then, was it five or three? No, three rounds. I'm sorry. And split decision. It was Adesanya won, but it was a split decision. So, I think he's better than people give him credit for. He's won his last two against what's the guy, Dirty Sanchez. Took him a third round decision and went up against Cesar Ferreira. Ferreira, is it? That's not one of the Patricki brothers, is it? third round decision as well. So I'm picking him. I think it's not going to be a decision. I think he's going to go with. He's kind of a little bit of a decisionator. I'm picking him with, come on, make me happy, do a TKO, second round TKO.
Okay, and sorry, you're going with, who are you taking on that one?
Marvin Vittori.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
From
okay, so let me give you the
Pino,
odds real
Italy.
Quick. Yes, let me give you the odds real quickly right now,
okay.
Pammy. Minus 175 for Vittori at this time, and Robertson coming back at us at plus 165. So your pick right now, Pammy, is looking favorable. All right, Mark, let's move to you for a spotlight fight of the night. What you got, brother?
Alexander Hernandez versus Rick Drew Dover.
That's a great fight.
It is a great fight. That's a feature fight. I'm picking Hernandez. I mean, yeah, he went against Cowboy and didn't look too good, but before that he was an assassin. The guy is young. He's picking at the skills. He's tough as nails. He's nothing but action forward. You know, he likes to punish people. And Drew Dover, for better or for worse, he likes to wrestle a lot, but I don't think he's going to be able to wrestle Hernandez. Hernandez is going to piece him up, overwhelm him late in the second round. He's going to take care of Drew Dover. So give me Hernandez by taking care on the second.
Okay. I'll give you the odds real quickly on this one, Marco. These odds are super close. Dover right now, at the time of recording, at a minus 110, and Hernandez coming back at us at a plus 100. So close fight here, guys, and like I said, Marco, this is the fight, man. This is a good fight. Go ahead.
Surprise that Drew Dover is a slight favorite. It's basically a pick'em, but surprise.
Yeah.
Man. Okay, no problem.
All right,
hi,
DJ
Marco.
Tony, let's throw to you for your spotlight. What do you got?
Well, it should be no surprise, you guys. I'm going with Sajara Eubanks.
Excuse me, bitch.
Yeah, I'm not going there. I'm actually going to give some love to our boy, another friend to the show, the Vanilla Gorilla, Chase Sherman. He's
back in the UFC.
After two straight victories at Square something, fighting championship or something, and he will fight Isaac Hurricane Ike Villanueva. I'm going with the Vanilla Gorilla. Third round, early third round, TKO.
Yay.
Shout out to Chase Sherman.
All right, so let me give you the odds on that one right now as well. Five Dimes right now has got Ike at a plus 142 and Chase Sherman at a minus 152, guys. So, again, the odds pretty close on most of these fights that we've been speaking of. Guys, my spotlight fight of the night is also going to stay on the main card. I was also going to take the Sarah Marais fight, DJ Tony, but I decided I was going to go with our boy Ray Borg versus Ricky Simon. Another really razor thin fight here with the odds makers. Ricky Simon right now at a minus 152 against your boy Ray Borg at a plus 142. I got to take the favorite here, in my opinion. I've always been a big Ray Borg fan, and you know, with all the troubles that he's had with his son in the first few months or a year of his life, you know, always been on my mind. So I always like to see Ray Borg do well. So I'm going to go ahead and take Borg. I'm going to take him by decision because I think this is going to be a great fight, guys. So Ray Borg, the decision for me. All right, guys,
nice.
That was great. We did that. We flew through that in great time. UFC on ESPN Plus 29 or UFC on ESPN 9 in the books. All right, guys, let's go ahead and throw to a little AMP for Radio Rewind. Marco, what you got?
Rewind.
All right, this week in MMA saw... Sorry, DJ Tony. This week in MMA saw UFC 249 go down. Of course, that was Ferguson versus Gaethje for the interim welterweight crown. All right, guys, lots to talk about. Sorry. What did I'm talking about? Welterweight. Good Lord. It's been a long time. My apologies. Lightweight. Of course, we know this was supposed to have been Khabib versus Tony, number 5. Again, gets canceled. You know, I was speaking today to one of my friends, Stephen Savory of Savory Goldsmithing. And he just said, you know, we just were talking. We're like, this fight's never going to happen. We're never going to see Khabib versus Tony. It's just not going to happen, guys. And unfortunately, we got to let that go. So, Marco, there was lots to talk about. I want to start with the fights first, and then maybe we can get into the week that was leading up to the fights with the testing and, you know, Jacare and all that news that happened with that. But let's start with the main event. Marco, in my opinion, a really great fight. Two of the top lightweights in the world going at it. We saw, you know, the majority of all four rounds. We started the fifth round, and then the fight was called. What were your thoughts, man? What was going through your head? How were your feelings about a main event, of such magnitude, not having a crowd there? Did you think that it, you know, factored into what happened in the fight? What are your thoughts?
First of all, the fight was a fantastic fight. I was super impressed with Gage's poise and discipline. I don't know if the grabbing that would have affected his demeanor because he defeats all the crowd. But I like, for example, within the third and the fourth round, I think, his coach told him, the last time you lost is because you were having too much fun out there. And Gage got the presence of mind to remind him, no, I lost twice because of that. Very good plan. Super surprised on the approach of Tony. You know, he took way too much damage. And I mean, he might be the boogeyman, but he's also human, man. And Gage on the pass would like go like a shark on block water, but he took his time. He never completely charged to that to finish the fight. He just took his time and kept chopping away. Great fight. A masterpiece there. He's a new Internet Lightweight Champion. There is no doubt about that. I am happy, sad at the same time. Happy for Justin Gaethje, because whatever fight he gets next, if he gets Conor McGregor or he gets Khabib Nurmagomedov, that is a rightful fight, he's going to get paid a lot. He became a star that night because everybody was watching. Sad because there that Khabib Ferguson fight, I think finally, after five tries, it's finally a slip away. And even if it happened in the future, it's not going to mean the same. You know, it's not going to have the same value of if it could have happened in April when you got the two best lightweights at the time going at each other. I don't know what to say. Gage looked great, looked fantastic. Like saying he's the rightful number one contender now because he's the interim champion. He can cause some problems to Khabib. The only thing that sticks to me is that they are managed by the same guy, Ali Abdelaziz, and hoping that his leads back don't try to freaking put Roblox on this freaking fight because he's going to protect his boy. He's going to protect his boy, Khabib. I don't like Ali Abdelaziz. I never have.
I don't like him either.
But it is the fight to be right now. He was supposed to fight Conor in July, and Conor been talking some smack on the internet. Even if he fights Conor before he fights Khabib, I will take that because right now it's a triangle. They Justin Gage push aside Tony Ferguson. Now it is Gage, Conor, Khabib. Those are the three money fights. You know, whatever permutation of the three guys on a fight in the near future is going to make mega bucks and everybody's going to get paid. So, yeah, let it be, man. Let it happen. I'm happy, sad. But that's my opinion on the man.
Right. So, Pammy, I mean, Marco covered a lot there, but let me ask you a quick question. At the end of the second round, were you feeling real good about Ferguson's chances? And, you know, what did you think when the third started?
Well, you know, I'm a fan of both. I love Tony, but you all know I love Justin Gage. I've been talking about him since he was in WSOF. I remember telling you guys, oh, man, you need to check this guy out. He's awesome, blah, blah, blah. I'm like Tony. Like Marco, and I posted that. Man, I'm happy and sad at the same time. I'm happy for Justin because he just, I mean, if he, I he couldn't have fought a more perfect. I mean, he was just on point with everything he did. Tony, I'm not making excuses, but I'm just wondering if like the continuous weight loss or weight cutting had some effect. I don't know, but I'm happy for both of them. I think both of them put on a great show. It was a great fight, and I have nothing bad to say about any of them, ever.
Yeah. Now, Tony, oh, are you not, sorry, Pam, are you not done? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it was an amazing night of fights.
Yeah, it was a great night of fights and capped up, again, by an extraordinary display between two really high-end fighters. And DJ Tony, again, I'll throw the same question back to you because we were talking about Justin Gaethje's performance, and we heard Marco talk about how, Gaethje goes back to the corner at the end of the second, and it seemed to me like the game plan was working, the first and the second. Gaethje gets caught at the end of the second, looked a little tired to me, Tony, near the end of the second and going into the third.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought the first round literally was all Gaethje. By the way, Mexican on Mexican crime here. Once the third started, I thought the tide was going to switch. Never happened. Yeah. I actually think Gaethje, just like Pam said, fought the perfect fight. I'm happy for Gaethje, really sad for Tony Ferguson, obviously. But, I think the only guy that could beat Khabib, honestly, was Ferguson, but we're not going to see that fight. So happy for Gaethje, sad for Fergie.
Yeah, hey, I mean,
one side, real quick. Isn't it crazy? In seven fights, Justin Gaethje got 9 performance or fight of the night bonuses?
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely making the money.
At this rate, man, if he's going to break the record for accumulation of performance of the nights, man, because he's just unbelievable.
Yeah, he made $100,000 with this win, so great one.
I wish that they would have offered a few more fight of the night. So that Nico Price and Liu came in, that was crazy.
Sure. I mean, you can't really argue with what they did, the main event, and of course,
the
Prince and Ngannou performance. I mean, you have to go with that. Let me give my thoughts real quickly on this main event, and then we'll go ahead and move on to the co-main because there's some crazy news coming out of that one as well. Gaethje, as you guys have mentioned, had Tony Ferguson's number from the very beginning with the leg kicks adding up, especially in the first round, the straight punches from Gaethje as opposed to the mainly hooks from Ferguson. And of course, Ferguson is staying on the outside doing these, weird kind of distractions, but Gaethje didn't ever once take the bait. Gaethje did get hit. Let's be honest. It was a fight. It was a great fight. But Ferguson, man, took a great deal of punishment. I didn't really have a problem with the stoppage, guys. I thought that Tony may have been able to continue. And this is going to be something that we're going to talk about in the next round as well. But I was fine with the stoppage. It was a great fight. Ferguson took an extraordinary amount of damage, but I thought that he was done. Anybody want to take the reins on that one and give me your thoughts on the stoppage real quick?
Nope.
Everybody's good with the stoppage as well. Marco, no problems
good.
With the stoppage?
Wait, give me a second.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought it could have been stopped earlier, but definitely you could tell he was out of it, Proteus, when he was shaking his head. It wasn't good.
Tony Ferguson has had some problems in the past, with his behavior outside of the octagon. So I don't know if we need to see Tony Ferguson take a great deal more damage. Marco, your thoughts?
I would have thrown the towel on the floor. He was taking way too much punishment. I don't know why they let him go out on the fifth. That is the kind of punishment that changed your life, your career. I mean, as Junior Dos Santos, after the two meetings that he took from Cain Velasquez, he was never the same fighting again. So I wasn't too happy with the amount of punishment his corner allowed Tony Ferguson to take. We know he's tough, but Santos, you got to say, the fighter for himself. He took way, way too much punishment.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what the referee is there for, guys. So having said that, let's go ahead and move to the co-main event in the bantamweight division, of course. This one for the bantamweight title. Henry Cejudo goes ahead and beats Dominic Cruz in the second round by TKO, KO. Again, we have what Dominic Cruz would like us to believe is an early stoppage. Guys, I mean, I've watched this over and over again. We had Joe Rogan in the octagon when he talked to Dominic Cruz. And by the way, shout out DJ Tony to the amped versions of the in-ring octagon interviews. I really enjoyed recapping these fights this morning with that opportunity that you put out for us. So let's start with you, Tony, since I've singled you out already. What were your thoughts here of this fight? You know, first of all, you know, Henry Cejudo gets the big win. He goes out there, retires in front of no crowd. I thought that was one thing that I wanted to mention. You know, we saw a great fight. I thought, you know, Henry comes in there, lands that big knee, and then comes out and retires, and there's no one there to cheer him on. Tony, I'm taking your stage here. What do you got? Co-main event, Henry Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz.
First off, thank you, Proteus. That's why I put it out, right? So for those that can't watch it or want to know the highlights, there you go. So thank you for that. Listen, I'm a huge fan of Dominic Cruz's work outside of the ring. I think he's kind of like Jordan, right, where he's an a-hole when he fights, but he's like a completely brilliant guy out of it.
Sure.
Big fan of Dominic Cruz. And his work ethic and everything else, but he was out. That knee literally took him out. I know they said that the referee smelled like cigarettes and alcohol, probably did, but he was still out. And listen, I'm not a fan of
Florida.
Triple cringe. Right. Henry Cejudo, yeah, shout out to the Walmarts in Florida. Listen, I'm not a big fan of triple cringe. I'm a big fan, or I was a fan of Henry Cejudo. Don't like this character at all. And you know what? Isn't it like Henry Cejudo to do this? I'm still not sure. He's retired. I think he wants more money. He's not going to get it. But, you know, kudos to him on the win.
Tammy, let's throw to you in the co-main event. We saw some, you know, small guys fight, but I thought, you know, Henry Cejudo coming out with the win, looking good. What do you think?
Shout out to beer and cigarettes, man. Woo! I met him years ago when he was when he got his ass beat by Mighty Mouse in the first round, before he was cringy, and he was super nice. I mean, super nice. But, you know, again, he fought the perfect fight. Everything he did was on point. I mean, on point. Movement, everything he did was on point. So I don't know if not having people in the audience makes them more cognizant of what they're doing because they don't have the distraction from the crowd and are able to listen to their corner more. But I think he was awesome. I think he's worked his butt off. He's been training since he was, what did they say, 11 years old for everything that he's done.
Yep.
So if he did retire, good for him. Kudos to him. Happy retirement. Glad he finally got himself a real girl, you know. So, hey.
You're right.
Ouch.
Yeah, I was you know, leading into this one, Marco, and I'm going to throw to you. Leaning into this one, Marco, I've been watching kind of from a distance, watching Henry Cejudo's social media and kind of seeing that, you know, he's kind of getting attached to this girl. And I thought to myself, well, this guy seems like a kind of guy who you know, is an overachiever. He's done very well and may decide to, you know, go off into the sunset and have a family. What were your thoughts here, Marco?
We'll decide, man. Yeah, the little
yes,
fantastic.
Please.
I mean, those leg kicks were tons of leg kicks. He was going to...
Yeah.
Dominic Cruz did not look like a guy that was going to win that fight. And that was becoming very obvious by the end of the first round. And right after the clash of heads, Cejudo just took it into second gear and just finished the fight. The stopper was not a late stopper. So not only did Cruz got knee on the head, but he also got 11 unanswered punches where he was on the ground. What other option you're giving the freaking referee? By the time the referee went and tried to stop the fight, there was a split second that Cruz was getting up. The referee had already made the decision on point standard 8 and 9. It took him points 10 and 11 to get there and stop the fight, and that is when Cruz started moving to get up. So the fight was over regardless. So 2 seconds left, 2 minutes left, didn't matter. The time is not a factor in here. you know, intelligently defending yourself, but he wasn't intelligently defending himself. He was getting punched on block 11 times in a row after that knockdown. I mean, look, Henry Cejudo, at age 21, after winning an Olympic gold medal, retired from amateur wrestling in front of nobody. He just said, I'm not doing it again. He could have gone to the 2012 Olympics as a gold medalist. You didn't have to qualify for the free Olympic thing because as the gold medalist, you get an immediate berth to try to re-medal. And he decided not to. I mean, he wanted to do something else, and he did. He came into MMA, became a double champion. He beat, on this run, Demetrius Johnson, the best flyweight ever, TJ Dillashaw, the second best bantamweight ever, that went down to 125, full of EPO, and he is still knocking out. Terry Chimoraes, the right number one contender at bantamweight, that was also a WSOS champion, and then the best bantamweight ever, Dominic Cruz. So, yeah, I mean, if he retires, he retires. I don't believe it's going to be permanent because, you know, retirements in the fight game are never permanent until they are. You might not see Henry Cejudo for a couple of years. And this is just a wild prediction of me. I've seen in a couple of years they're going to try to make a trilogy with freaking Mighty Mouse and just to try to bank on that, try to bring those two guys back together at age 35 and make that trilogy that it needs to happen. So that would be like a money fight that they might try to get those two guys back when they decide, okay, they get enough of a break. But good for Henry Cejudo, man. I mean, enjoy your girl, enjoy your money, yeah, make as much as you wanted to. But even if he goes into boxing, I think he will do good, man. Whatever he does is going to be successful because the guy's a winner. The guy's a freaking winner. And Triple C is out, so we don't have to keep the cringe shit no more.
Yeah, we don't need to get cringe shit anymore. And then the next day he's posting a cringy post on Instagram, Twitter, whatever it was, with those stupid pillows that he had printed off. Like, God. Anyways, let's move along. Yeah, in bed with him, exactly. Yeah, so congratulations to Henry Cejudo. Again, you can't take anything away from him. You know, calling himself the best, can't remember exactly the words right now, of course.
Best from, yeah. You got a case.
Yeah, the best.
You got a case.
And anyways, you can't take away from his what he's done in both sports. And if he wants to retire on the top, all the power to him. Marco, like you said, let's talk about the fight. Like you said, also, those leg kicks. What do you want to do against Dominic Cruz? You want to take away his mobility. Boom. He does that with the leg kicks. Secondly, in the second round, like you said, Marco, after the headbutt, or the clash of heads. We've seen that from Henry Cejudo before. You know, he gets, you know, in a tough position.
We've got that big
turns
old
on the afterburners. Turns on the afterburners and gets the job done. Look, I think we could have called the fight after the knee. That was right on the money. Dominic Cruz goes falling, you know, 10 feet back onto his butt. And like you said, Marco, takes a great deal of punishment. I don't care if you've told the ref in the back to let you go unconscious. The ref has to do his job. That's what he's there for. That was a perfectly good stoppage in my mind. If Dominic Cruz was getting up, what was he getting up to do? He was sincerely concussed. Maybe he gets to his feet. Maybe he gets knocked out. I'm okay with not seeing that. I wanted to comment on the fact that there was no crowd there. You know, as you guys know, if you're longtime listeners to the show, I'm a proponent of not having crowds there. I think that the performance that we've seen in this particular fight card shows that when you remove the adrenaline dump that is the walkouts in front of a crowd, when you remove the chanting of the crowd that we all love to
the
do,
wounds,
don't get me
man.
Wrong.
Woo.
I love
oh,
to go. I love to go to an event and cheer and scream and root on my favorite fighter. But again, when I want to watch at home, again, I watch without the sound. I don't like the commentators. I don't like the boo hawks. I don't like the people going woo. I just turn off the sound. So to me, this was fine. This was, I didn't have a problem with it. And we got to see excellent performances. We got to see what happens when the fighters can hear their corners. And apparently what happens when they can hear the commentators also giving them advice. So anyways, great performance by Henry Cejudo. Go ahead.
On defense of the crowd, on defense of the fans and crowd, and then Pam can attest to this too because he has gone to plenty of UFC shows. Okay. There is no better experience than being there live. It's awesome.
This is true.
The energy of
again,
20,000
like I said,
people,
I've been.
And you cannot replace the energy. I mean, it was cool to see this. I want to see it for a while. The stuff without the crowds, but I cannot wait for the crowds to come back because it's a completely different experience, a completely different animal. And you will see, you will notice the difference with the crowd coming back. It's going to be completely different.
Yeah, I agree. Like I was saying, I've been to a number of events. I enjoy going to a number of events. I enjoy seeing it live. I'd be okay, though. I really would. I'd be okay if we only saw crowds maybe at big events where we don't have to spend a bunch of money on a stadium to see a fight night card. You know, maybe we do those at the Apex Center where we can control the testing, we can control where the fighters go, what they're doing, where they're eating. I don't know. Moving forward, I'm sure there's going to be a plan in place. We're going to see what happens again on Wednesday. But let's go ahead and talk about the other performance of the night real quickly because it was one of the quickest performances on the card. Of course, Francis Ngannou goes ahead out there and finishes the fight real quick. Marco, what you got going on here? Francis Ngannou seems as scary as we thought he was, yes?
I am horrified by that man. I do not want to piss him off. I know he's a nice guy. He's so spoken. He's a gentle giant. But Jairzinho Rosenstruck, what the fuck are you doing calling him out, man? What's wrong with you? See what happened to you?
Yeah.
Sounds like he fires you and then shut the Francis Ngannou. He just decapitated you. Don't piss him off. And if you think you're going to strike him, don't. Wrestle him. Learn from a Stipe.
Yeah.
No, start with this man. Even wrestling doesn't work anymore. Corey Colby Blades knocked out. Cain Velasquez knocked out. And they have like Alistairian wrestlers. What is going to work in this guy? Look, fantastic freaking performance on Ngannou, man. It's a shame he has to wait for, Stipe and DC sorting out the trilogy because
yeah.
He is a rightful number one champion. This should have been for an interim championship. I mean, it was supposed to be a fire rounder back in freaking March, man. Right? Because this was supposed to be in Columbus, Ohio, ESPN,
yep.
Fire rounder with Russell. It doesn't matter. It would have ended in 20 seconds anyway. But my point being, sit on the shelf. Don't take any other fights. You either fight DC, don't fight anybody else because there's nobody else there for him. Don't give me a rematch with Derek Lewis. No, I don't want that. They can fight later.
No.
Just sit down and wait because that is the scariest man on the planet right now. Jesus Christ. I'm so, so impressed. I want to give quick shout-outs to Calvin Cato. He should have got a performance of the night, but the right elbow and then the following elbow to the left. Shout-out to Bryce Mitchell, Mr. Camo Pants, because he put a clinic on the ground. Charles is a black belt on jiu-jitsu, and he made him look like a blue belt. It was so impressive what he did on the ground. Bryce Mitchell is the real deal. And, is he kicking a guy on the beginning of a twister, a black belt? He might be what he's going to do with dogs that are just like a purple mess and stuff. What good that they're going to get him these camo shorts. Nico Price and half Chile and Vicente Luque. Any other night, they would have got part of the night, but, the main event happened, so it is what it is. And then Cowboy and Pettis, good fight too. Man, Kavanaugh, 4-5 losing streak sounds really wrong saying. He's not getting caught or anything like that. But I saw Cowboy won, and that was just my opinion. But it wasn't a robbery, but I still think Cowboy won that one. That's what I have to say about the recap of my fights.
Okay, so, Bam, let's reel it in real quick, and then we'll give you some time to give honorable mentions as well. Heavyweight division, Francis Ngannou, what do you think is the what's next? I mean, like Marco was just saying, who knows when this trilogy between Stipe and your boy DC is going to happen. And of course, DC comes out and says that he doesn't want to fight Francis. Of course, he doesn't want to fight Francis. He's going to get his head knocked off. What do you think? What's the future of the heavyweight division?
You know what?
Francis?
What I was noticing, and I don't know if any of y'all noticed, he didn't look just big. He was really cut. Did y'all notice that?
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
he
looked like he had really slimmed
down.
Yeah. So, I wonder if there's a what?
He's been training.
Did somebody call me?
For 5 months, because the Russian fight was set up 5 months ago. He's been training for the fight, and then he got delayed, and then he came out lighter than usual. So, and he trains in the Performance Center of the UFC out there in Vegas, and in Stinko too.
But even Greg Hardy looked. I mean, I don't like him, but he looked good. He looked like he had like really slimmed down,
improved.
And he was really
sure.
cut. So, I'm just wondering if all this slimming down could take him to a possible light heavyweight, maybe.
No.
Good luck with that, Pam. That's wishful thinking.
You know, I mean, I'm just saying. You know, we could. This isn't it. This is an MMA show. We're talking possibilities.
You can just
and,
say all
you know,
want.
Stuff
Absolutely.
Like that. So,
yeah.
You know, who knows? But he looked really good. I think he's very much improved. He's not just like a one punch kind of guy. I think he's really improving. So who knows? I think the world will soon be his oyster. You know, good for him.
Yeah.
And he's just so sweet.
Yeah, he's definitely a nice dude and, you know, a humble upbringing. DJ Tony, quickly, let's get you in here to weigh in real quick on this one. What do you want to see next for Francis? And, of course, he's scary, right?
Well, without a doubt, right? When you just go in there, you know, not unlike that Twitter video that's been roaming around, but when you just go in there with bad form and still knock the fool out in 20 seconds or under 20 seconds, good Lord. I mean, that is frightening.
Yeah.
But, you know – listen, I don't know why no one has brought this up. Marco brought it up briefly. Listen, I know the whole Stipe thing. He's trying to do the best thing for the world, but it's either fight or vacate. I'm sorry. How long can this go on,
yeah.
right? So either fight or vacate. Sorry.
Defend
or vacate,
someone,
right?
Held up the division for a while, so let's with you know, just, you know, because he was whoring around and, you know, doing other things. So,
I
mean,
agree with you, Pam,
so,
but let's not
you know.
Talk. I agree with you, but let's not talk about Amanda Nunes right now. Oh, you're not talking about her.
Oh,
wow.
Shut up. Oh, my God. You're such a dork.
All right, guys. I know this is our first show back with all of us. Sorry, Marco. I gotta get this wrapped up because we're swiftly running out of time. Thank you guys very much. It was great conversation this week in MMA. Marco gave shout outs to everybody else on the card. So congratulations to everyone else who had great performances. Great. Good to have MMA back, guys. Good to be talking about it again. Pammy, let's go ahead and throw to you. If you've got a Twitter follow of the week, or if you've got yourself a 90-day fiance mention that you want to throw out here, because
oh,
I know it's
God.
Coming. What you got?
My partner in crime for 90-day fiance.
DJ Tony.
That's right.
Not me.
Yeah, I've seen you guys going back and forth.
I got him hooked.
I've seen it. Yeah. All right, Pam. Well, we will see you again, hopefully, on Friday. We'll talk to you again. You don't have a Twitter follow. It's just 90 Day Fiance for you today.
Yep, just 90 Day Fiance. I've been too busy. I've been making masks. I've made over 300 masks.
I know you've been busy during the quarantine getting that stuff out. I wanted to mention it. We're swiftly running out of time, though. We'll get to it on Friday. DJ Tony, what you got for me? You got a Twitter follow, or do you got a guilty pleasure for this week?
I absolutely do have a Twitter follow, and that's the person that makes my mask. Shout out to Pam at Pamdora Box.
Oh, thank you.
Triple X. So shout out to Pammy, and that's what I got. No, no,
all right,
fiance.
So my guilty
Who
pleasure.
That garbage?
Yeah, right.
Weirdo.
My guilty pleasure for the past couple of months, actually, guys, and especially the past week, has been all of the progress that SpaceX is making down there in Boca Chica, Texas. I've been watching the exciting stuff that's happening with you know, rocketry. We are seeing history unfold in front of our eyes. This has never happened before, watching not only rockets being built, but being test fired and such like that. It's been absolutely amazing. There are lots of websites I can bring you to, The Everyday Astronaut, Lab Padre, NASA Space Flight. All three of those have been doing live feeds. If you want to see this kind of stuff, you can get caught up there. Marco, get us out of here for this week, brother.
Look, we are in the middle of a pandemic. The world is telling us now that UFOs are for real. We get murderous giant wasps in the United States and freaking swarms of locusts in Central America. We need to have this Pfizer freaking Saturday, brother. We don't know what's going to happen next. We might not be here tomorrow. My guilty pleasure tonight, I'm going to rewatch Rise of Skywalker because it's on Disney Plus for free. Well, not for free. You got to pay the subscription. And, well, Tony, to you, Tony. Well, on Pandora Box, welcome back, Cam. Follow Bros at Prodios, Bros, Family Prodios. Follow me and Marco Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast, right on the US, right on Spotify, Blog Talk Radio, Apple Podcast, wherever you are. Right on the US. You know, we got some good fights last Saturday, fights tomorrow, and then another show Friday to pick the fights for this weekend, Saturday. We'll leave you guys, you guys, next Friday. Enjoy the fights.
That's right. We'll see you guys on Friday. And just like that, Pammy.
Boom. Out of here. Bye, y'all.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.